Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about activated charcoal, a wonder material. I'm going to talk to you about it, and it's part of my general interest in, I like matter, I like the elements, I like the periodic table, I like gases. That sounds stupid, but I like liquids, and I definitely like solids, crystalline solids. I sort of like the idea of crystalline solids that you can actually look into them. G'day. Look into them and actually do some good quantum mechanics, transform their electron wave functions. I know this is going to be much simpler than this, but transform and produce Fermi surfaces, which you can imagine. And then, lo and behold, nature keeps on throwing up these surprises. And the one I absolutely does my head in is zeolite, because it's a sieve, and so it's actually like, you know, if you whole stack of sieves put on top of each other, that's what it looks like. This whole big holes, it's a molecular sieve, and it's actually got regular holes in it that's large enough for gas to go through, and so that's fantastic matter. And this heaps of applications. So zeolite's not a laughable thing. It's got huge gas storage capacity, it's got huge surface area, so you can imagine, rather than the surface area being the surface area is the volume. It's sort of just mind-bogglingly how amazing zeolites are. And that's not as amazing for me. Well, I'll put it up there. I think zeolites are pretty much up there as the most amazing thing. So I suppose piezoelectric crystals, nonlinear crystals, really get me excited. But the thing that I rather like is the humble activated charcoal. And just listen to it for a while. So what is charcoal? Well, how do you get charcoal? So essentially, you get some organic matter, and you burn it in an oxygen-starved environment, and eventually you get charcoal. So the oxygen, the volatiles, the nitrogens, the oils, everything gets burnt off, and you're left with a composite of carbon. And so this is it's not a carbon crystal, it's not actually solid graphite. You can actually crush it with your hands, you can't do that with graphite. And if you pull it across, you don't get a graphene layer on your piece of paper, you get whole heap of bits of chunks of big charcoal. You know, you get a charcoal working pen, and it's beautiful for colour. It's big and black and big and soft, but it is nonetheless a solid. And so what do we do to make activated charcoal? Well, it's pretty fascinating. You put the charcoal, and I don't know, I just really scratching my head, because people just really don't care, I suppose. I'm just thinking back about talking to the people I've worked with, and the last podcast was dreadful, and I'll still put it up there under a policy of anything you podcast you publish, but almost, but the last one was on a heavy side road, or heavy main road, as I was walking to pick up something from the library. And this one I've taken a more quiet road, and so hopefully there'll be less traffic noise here. But you're painfully aware of the four-wheel drives. Yeah, that was a four-wheel drive. You can hear its sound on the ground, the tyres going past. Okay, yeah, activated charcoal. People just say, oh, it's charcoal, and they've activated. But how they've activated is just absolutely fascinating. So they have these large charcoal bits. So they make the charcoal, and I suppose you can mine charcoal. So it's coal, which is from the char, and I think char is unburnt wood. It's wood which has been burnt. So if wood fully burns, you're left with the actual the white stuff, which is metal oxides, and the metal oxides are very basic. So if you want lime or something, if you want to get some basic stuff and use it for washing or for soap, you just collect the white ash and mix it in with fat and you'll get soap. But we'll stop there. If you get a very hot fire and you starve it of oxygen over a period of time, you'll get charcoal. And charcoal then can be used later. You can then reintroduce oxygen. You've got a very high fuel source. There's still a lot of energy in it. It's just that the oxygen can't get to it. Yeah, so it's mostly carbon. Obviously, there's some other materials in it, but I suspect activated charcoal is, they pick up some, they would possibly select the correct wood. And selecting the correct wood is an enormously important thing to do. And there's, I'm just trying to think, poplars. There's various woods, like there's a special wood for matches, and it's a special wood which contains an oil in it, which doesn't produce smoke. When you light a match, you want it to burn, the oil from the match comes out, and it's poplar trees. So it's very long, tall trees, very white wood, and it has the property that it doesn't burn, producing smoke. So there's no point lighting up a ciggy. I must admit, in Australia, the only time I've ever seen it, in different parts of Australia, there's just no one smokes, and it's sort of considered really bad taste to smoke. However, they would select a certain type of wood which would produce really high quality charcoal and convert it into charcoal. Then they put it in a reactor chamber. And what they do is they heat up the reactor chamber so it wants to burn, and they add in just the smallest amount of oxygen. And what that does is it ignites on weak points on the surface going in. I'm just going through a tunnel here, and so there's cars in the tunnel that's making noise, but it should be quiet the rest of the walk. And so this has a hot spot, so it's hot. So it's burnt, the oxygen will burn on a little site, and because it's burning in that site will continue to glow like an ember. And it's a way of getting the embers to be little, on little areas, only a few nanometers across, and these embers burn their way deeper and deeper into the charcoal. So the charcoal winds up of having these tubes, and I can imagine these tubes, in terms of being a nanometer wide and the length of the piece of activated charcoal you've got. And this means that it burns these very fine tunnels into activated charcoal. And it's sort of a satisfying crunch when you crunch the activated charcoal. They make activated charcoal into a powder, but the only reason it's a powder, namely, is to increase the surface area ever further, but to be able to enable it to be poured or put into places, and but it's be large enough such that it can be held. So where do you use activated charcoal? Absolutely everywhere, my friend. You use it everywhere. And essentially what happens is that the bad guys, the odours, the colour, the large molecules get sucked and stuck in these tubes. So you activate the charcoal, lasts for so long, and then you've got nothing to do but throw it away. So what are some of the applications of activated charcoal? So you can imagine why I love activated charcoal. It's normally when you've got an object, it's solid, it's boring. Well, this is an object with anywhere tiny little wormholes all the way going through it. That's why activated charcoal has a huge surface area, and it is activated. It's sort of massively increased the molecular surface area of it, and of course you get different grades of activated charcoal. Where you use it? In water purifiers. You know these, I think the Brita water purifiers, you get a little capsule of activated charcoal, and you pour the water through it, and it takes out the bad flavours and all that apparent things. It purifies the water from the big, g'day mate, good molecules in it. Another place, activated charcoal, odour readers. you put it in your soul, and the smelly molecules from your feet get stuck in this activated charcoal. This is heaps of sugar, you know, brown sugar. Oh, I don't like brown sugar, but I think brown sugar tastes absolutely delightful. It makes a really good cup of tea. I just amazing up in Queensland, in northern Australia, at the tea plantations. There's just something, nothing better. So what you do is that you pump the liquid sugar through activated sugar. Charcoal takes the molasses out of it. I might be wrong. There might be a better technique nowadays. That's a technique, I think, 100 years before Australia was found. They sent up a English pirate of William Dampier, and he went on a sort of a semi-spying mission and spied the Spanish, I think in Madeira, and I don't know where the island is there, but he looked at their purification of white sugar. How did they make white sugar? And it was using no less than activated charcoal. Now, back then, well, going back history, I don't think activated charcoal has been made in an industrial, exquisite way until, or it would have been in the 1860s forward that they actually developed the technique. So all of the uses of activated charcoal, I don't know exactly how well it's gone. And there's lots of heaps of gas masks I don't know how effective they would be to actually absorb the gas so you can breathe. It's a molecular sieve, basically. You want to sieve out the mustard gas and suck in the air. So it's a very sort of fascinating way that it actually it goes. Now, I'm sure there's other ideas for the use of activated charcoal. Dare I say, it is black, and I just have to remember, I'll talk to you a bit later. I'll do another podcast about another favourite carbon friend of mine. G'day. Is Venta Black. So that particular black is the blackest black that the human race has made, and it's means like in real life you can actually have a card of Venta Black and put it on the pavement. It will look a bit like a black hole you can jump into, like a rabbit hole you can jump into, like in the comic books. And if you put Venta Black on, say, on a statue. So this is again nanotechnology and getting nanotubes, all to do with carbon. So I'll go into something about nanotechnology and the formation of buckyballs and all that type of stuff. I'll do that on another podcast. This podcast is your plain old carbon, amorphous carbon. So a few, there's no particular, it's bonding in a particularly random way. It's amorphous but not a glass. That's a bit of a head scratcher for me. And then these carbon tubes go in and go across in the making of activated charcoal. Very interesting topic. I hope that you've understood it, and I hope I've explained it a little well. Doing it, this is something that I just off the top of my head decided I'd try and have a go at explaining it and bring it closer to you. So when you have some access to activated charcoal, look at the website. I'm sure there'll be things on the web. It's such a beautiful process. I should well imagine there's YouTubes or videos of the activated charcoal process being made. One of these lost techniques, which I'm a groupie fan of. I'm I'm a fan of it. Thanks a lot for listening. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.